We're good?
Yep.
Okay, I think the top of the clock.
Okay, we'll kick off.
Fantastic.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Hello?
I thought they were asleep there for a
second. Yeah, I thought they were asleep.
Good morning. Good afternoon, yes.
So thanks very much for attending our session titled What's New in Ops Manager. We were going to name it What's New in Ops Manager 2016, but if you've been following what's actually happening out there, there's not a huge amount. So we're going to cover the whole Ops Manager spectrum within the next hour. So my name is Kevin Green. I'm a System Center, Cloud, and Data Center Management MVP working for a company in Dublin, Ireland called Ergo. I've written a couple of books, If For My Sins, and if you're on Twitter, there's my Twitter handle. Please hit me up with any questions that you have about this session or about anything System Center related, no problem. And there's my blog, kevingreenitblog.blogspot.com.
You need a new tiny URL, mate. So my name is Damien Flynn, and I'm probably a little bit like a fish out of water, certainly standing on a stage for Operations Manager. My normal living in System Center Suite happens to be much more on the automation and the cloud side of the world. So how do I end up sitting beside Kevin today? Some of it's got to do with the fact that I have a background in Linux, and Operations Manager has a whole lot of cross-platform heterogeneous functionality. So we're going to spend some time today looking at the offers that we have in the Operations Manager suites and Operations Manager itself and its support for the Linux operating systems. As with Kevin, I have a blog, and it's obviously very present on that slide for some reason. That's www.damienflynn.com, and again on Twitter. And of course, there are two or three different books, and I think the last book actually has just got reissued about a week ago with its updates for the OR2 building virtual networks. But all of that aside, let's get back to what we're here for, Operations Manager, and let's take a look at what we've got to cover today.
Okay, so System Center Universe wouldn't be a System Center Universe without having some exploration space mission objectives. Our objectives for today: we're going to tell people in the room how you can influence the outcome of the final release of Ops Manager 2016. We're going to talk a little bit about the story of where we are up to now with the current release of Ops Manager 2012 or 2. Anything that's new that we could find with Ops Manager 2016, Technical Preview 3, which is the latest release that we have access to, we're going to show you that today. We're going to talk about some of the new management packs that are available for the 2016 wave and also for the existing 2012 or 2 environment. And also we're going to talk a little bit about some community solutions that are out there that hopefully can help people. If you're deploying Ops Manager or if you're administrating Ops Manager, that these community solutions can help you make your Ops Manager rock. And best of all, they're all free. Okay, let's go.
Right.
So, user voice. This is a pretty new initiative from Microsoft. They don't do it just for Ops Manager, but only recently, I think it was probably only a month or two ago, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Damien, they released a user voice portal for Ops Manager 2016. How many people have heard of this, by the way? Okay, so not too many. Cool.
Right. So. More importantly, keep those hands up. How many of you guys have actually used user voice so far? Okay, not so bad. We've got about everyone pegging. So the rest of you guys, if you've got your laptops open, grab the tiny URL there and make your way across to this location, because we're going to take advantage of this over the course of the week, over the course of the hour, over course of the next number of months, because we're going to influence what the product looks like when it's launched. There's no point coming out next May or June or July when Microsoft officially announced that 2016 is available, and then we sit there and say, God damn, I wish we had this product doing this particular feature, service, or whatever that may be, or that this thing worked in a slightly different way. This is the way we talk to the product group. They review it, edit it, and make changes to this stuff almost every single day. It's all about voting. You get 10 votes. When you log in, you're assigned 10 votes. You can take a look at the suggestions. You can assign up to 3 votes on any single suggestion until you've used up all of yours. Or you can make a suggestion of your own. And if it's a good suggestion, then everybody in the room and around the world should hopefully vote it up. And the ones that make it to the top get engineering time. And that's pretty much what we see happening consistently throughout the suites. Over the course of the next hour, we're going to talk about 2016. What we know about it, what we've used, what we've touched, what we do not like. We're going to make some references to some things we've already put up here that we think need to be fixed. We'll ask you if you agree, and if you do, vote it. And vice versa, if there's stuff that niggles you as you work with the product, this or any other product in the System Center suite, then take advantage of your user voice and make Microsoft aware that you're a happy or unhappy customer.
Okay, so let's take a little bit of a look back on Ops Manager, the 2012 release up to 2012 R2. So these are some of the investments that Microsoft have made over the past number of years on hopefully our favorite monitoring platform for the Microsoft and cross-platform stack. So there's no more RMS, which means the root management server. So since Ops Manager 2012, we now have the root management server emulator. We have a concept called resource pools, network monitoring, there's better Unix and Linux enhancements. We've got some new agents. We've got the Microsoft Monitoring Agent, or the MMA. That's a really cool addition that we've had access to since 2012 or two.
Can we hold to that one for 1 second? So with a show of hands, just have everybody that understands what the MMA, Microsoft's Monitoring Agent, is, and what's new or different about that. Anybody that's aware of it, raise your hands. Anybody that's, what the heck you're talking about? Okay. Yeah. So maybe we spend a minute or two just talk about this monitoring agent, because this one's actually pretty impressive and pretty important.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we're going to hang on this is because this is actually built into the core operating system of Windows Server moving forward. The Microsoft monitoring agent is Microsoft's final light bulb moment when they realize that we actually do need to monitor this application, this operating system, this environment. And up till now, we've always been coming back, historically, pushing out an agent for Virtual Machine Manager, an agent for Configuration Manager, an agent for Operations Manager, and an agent for whatever else. We ended up with lots of agents. So finally, the engineering team, just over a year ago, basically re-engineered the agent and made it a little bit, well, actually an awful lot smarter. First off, in 2012, when we brought out the first versions of agents, they allowed it to talk to both the 2007 and 2012 management server. So essentially, we can have two managers controlling the one agent. As we move forward, and we'll talk about other technologies, we've got the cloud introduced. Now the monitoring agent also knows how to talk to the on-premise or directly to the cloud, as the case may be. And as we continue to evolve through the life cycles that is operations management and monitoring this operating system, we now see that obviously in 2016, the operating system is going to become essentially headless, for the better minority or majority, as Microsoft would like, as we see more core and far more nano deployments. And in those scenarios, the agent is already being baked directly into the operating system. So there's no more questions about, if I put the agent on the workstation, is it going to have an adverse effect on my performance? Because every time we put something new on a server, we always have those same questions to deal with. It's in the operating system now as part of the core, so hopefully we'll make that whole question and answering scenario piece disappear, and it will get serviced as normal to the normal patching and updating processes.
Exactly. And, you know, leading on from that, because the MMA, you know, interacts with so many different services, or at least potentially can interact with so many different services within the Microsoft stack, one of the big multi-talented talents, if you like, that the MMA had was connecting to the old System Center Advisor attached service, which was then renamed to Op Insights, and now ultimately the new OMS. I need a quick poll of hands, if I may ask. The OMS, Microsoft's new OMS, how many people have heard of it first, before this morning's keynote? Keep your hands up if you're using it. Okay. Keep your hands up, or put your hands up if you've actually seen it in action. Okay, small number, right? We've got some really good sessions this week.
Pete and Anders are definitely going to do a deep dive into it.
Yeah, Martin Hoot's doing a good session. I've got some references and some links towards the end of this deck to some related OMS sessions, and I'll show you what we have in Ops Manager 2016 that can integrate into it. But from a 2012 R2 and 2012 perspective, we had Advisor and Op Insights integration. From a DevOps perspective, we have .NET application performance monitoring. So this is where you could look at your .NET applications from a code base level. If you were here last year, at, I had a presentation here last year. I did a session on DevOps with hybrid cloud using the .NET APM features of Ops Manager and a cloud-based solution called App Insights. Java APM, that's a new feature for 2012 R2. So it's application performance monitoring for Java. So anyone using Java or the Linux stack, that's a really useful addition, albeit very difficult to set up.
Just a quick interjection there for those of you that don't understand the monikers. We have a lot of those monikers, and Kevin is rolling them off as if they're part of his English vocabulary. Application performance monitoring quite simply means we get to see what's happening from the operating system to the application. We're making an exposure of the runtime so we can see the insights of that application. Is it running a SQL query too slow? Is it taking too long to load up a web page? Is it trying to grab a graphic from somewhere on the internet or in your server farms? So APM is all about cracking open the application and letting us see, so that when you get the knock on the bell to say, servers are slow today, sir, now you can start figuring out, let's turn on APM and I'll explain exactly why it's slow. File server sucks, database engine is too busy, or you just wrote bad code, mate.
And then we have TFS and IntelliTrace integration. So if you're, again, a developer, you can integrate your Ops Manager application performance monitoring piece into Team Foundation Server and the IntelliTrace functionality of Visual Studio. From an experience perspective, so everybody at the table, you all have your glow sticks. Instead of me asking you to raise your hands, you may as well make use of these glow sticks Marcel had us waving around earlier.
Rave on.
And put your glow stick in the air if you're an Ops Manager administrator. So if you work day-to-day as an administrator.
My condolences.
Okay. Put your glow stick in the air if you're a consultant or if your job role has responsibility for deploying Ops Manager on a regular basis. Okay, so kind of so-so. Reason I ask is that myself and Damien had a chat about this presentation, and depending on which way the audience was in relation to your roles, we can tailor our demos to tie in with your role to make your job probably a little bit easier. So far, so good. So on that, if you've used Ops Manager 2012 R2, you'll know that there's some reasonably good dashboard widgets and dashboard templates that you can make use of. The original version of them, performance-wise, they weren't very good. They've made some definite performance enhancements, and we're going to show you some stuff in Ops Manager 2016. And also the new 2012 R2 management packs that will make this even better. With Ops Manager 2012 R2, to be fair, Microsoft really did give us a full 360-degree overview of our monitoring our application. So we could see from the cradle to the grave, we could see the code, as we spoke about, we could see the infrastructure, we could see all of the components that make up our applications on-premise and off-premise. So we had a full 360-degree view. Okay, so now that we're up to speed with where we're at, let's talk about the good stuff.
Yeah.
What's new in Ops Manager 2016, Technical Preview 3? Firstly, we'll talk a little bit about some of the prerequisites. So, it installs on Windows Server 2012 R2 and Windows Server 2016. This is new for TP3, Technical Preview 3. So previously, it would only install on Windows Server 2016.
So glow stick time again. Let's figure out how many nerds we really have in the building. How many people have actually downloaded Technical Preview 3? All right, not so bad. Not that many nerds at all. So I'm definitely not going to ask who's installed it, because it's only out
a week, to be fair. Yeah. Requires SQL 2012 Service Pack 2 and SQL 2014. So currently no support for SQL 2016, but we would definitely expect that to come. The web console, for all its sins, still requires Silverlight version 5.
Oh
Let's
boy.
Move on. The web console runs on Internet Explorer 11, so if you've downloaded Server 2016 or if you've downloaded Windows 10, it won't run on Microsoft Edge, so don't bother.
Yeah, but it's okay, nobody uses it anyways. Go on.
The operations console, so the full console, is supported for deployment on Windows 10 and Windows Server 2016, so if you are playing with the tech previews, or as those previews roll into beta and then into production, it will definitely roll out the console onto either of those new operating systems. And this is one It might sound obvious, but you know, as a consultant, I speak to a lot of customers who still have Windows Server 2003 deployed in some way, shape, or form in their organization. There is absolutely no support for deploying an agent with Ops Manager 2016 to a Windows Server 2003 box.
Okay, that's a light bulb moment. Tiny URL, Ops Manager 2016. Use your user voice if this is a problem. The product group have made it clear at this point in time, technical preview 3, no support. If you need that changed, you need to make that known now.
Or just upgrade off Server 2003. That'd be easier.
That's probably a far more intelligent thing to do, but...
Exactly.
Business doesn't always go with the intelligent things.
No.
Lying.
Okay, so if you're installing Ops Manager 2016 or 2012 or 2, it's a PowerShell script that myself and some of my colleagues use. I've put the URL link here. You'll get access to these decks later. Feel free to download it. It will download the different prerequisites to a location on your server. We'll install them. We'll install all the roles and features, nice and handy, and you can carve that script up to determine what type of role and Ops Manager you want to install the prerequisites for.
Is that restricted to 2016 only?
No,
or is it
2012
also?
Or 2 as well.
Okay, fine.
SQL collation settings. Now, this is not an Ops Manager 2016 change, but it is something that, again, as a consultant, when I'm talking to customers, or when I'm talking to other consultants who are familiar with deploying Ops Manager on a regular basis, they may not know about this. This is around since 2012 or 2, a later update roll-up. When you deployed Ops Manager outside of the US, it was pretty. You're going to be pretty sure that your SQL collation settings are going to be something different to the default SQL Latin 1, et cetera, et cetera. And the best practice recommendations for many years was to always change your SQL collation settings on the SQL server to match this collation, even if it's not your standard. Otherwise, you had a problem. The problem was that the default Ops Manager install would deploy the Ops Manager databases with that SQL collation. Your SQL Server instance would have whatever collation that your business requirements normally need. And then you would find blank reports, possibly empty performance views, things like that. So since Ops Manager 2012 or 2, again, I can't remember which update rollup it is, but one of the update rollups brought support for this particular change. So just be aware of it. If you are deploying Ops Manager 2016, 2012 or 2, you don't now need to have a change in that SQL collation. So I thought that was a useful tip to give people at this point. So now Damien's just going to talk a little bit about the Unix and the Linux enhancements.
So again, just as we get organized on this one, up with those glow sticks for anybody that's like, this glow stick is sick, you need a new one. It's not working very well. Plus, it's a girly color, but go on, we'll ask the question.
So yeah, I'm just thinking it actually wasn't a roll-up. The guys are probably, I think it was from 2012 or 2, that SQL collation setting. So sorry, just for the recording, the question was, do you need to, or how is it that you're going to get the update roll-up into SQL before you actually deploy the collation, correct? Okay, so yeah, as I thought about it, it's since 2012 or 2, and SQL 2012 SP2 is the recommended for that one anyway, but is that okay? Cool.
Okay, before we do the next question, Karsten needs a new glow stick. He's got a pink one that's not very well. For the rest of you, though, that have working glow sticks, raise them if you actually touch Tux. You go near Linux in your day job. No one uses Linux.
How many people use Linux?
Wow. Okay, then this is probably going to be pretty boring as I go through this, and my user voices are not going to get much.
They're my type of people.
That's okay. We'll take care of that for the clock. So we'll shoot through this thing, and the first thing is the Microsoft marketing. They love Linux. Okay, we get on with that one and we'll move on to the next point. What does it really mean they've loved Linux? Well, they made a bash at us, made a mess of us, and tried again. Okay, version 2.0, we know things get better. And they have made it better this time around. We have got this thing called an OMI agent, which is essentially a management agent that makes Linux look like Windows. Thank you, Microsoft. Really what that means is at the end of the day, what Microsoft have done is they've figured out with the Open Management Group how to expose a lot of the monitoring metrics that are happening on a Linux operating system in a very similar method to what we do in Windows, Windows Server Management type technologies. The OMI standard is pretty much used across the board of hardware and software systems. And over the last number of years, it's been, I suppose, re-engineered to the point that it actually works well. One of the big challenges we had on the earlier versions of OMI is that both Operations Manager ran on version A, and then, of course, Configuration Manager would decide to run on a completely different version. And then as we got PowerShell added in to do things for DSC for Linux, yeah, well, we had our own version too, thanks very much. So all of a sudden, your Linux administrators were kind of looking at you saying, what are you doing to my servers? It's Microsoft stuff, get it off. So we've come back, they've re-engineered the software, they've got this thing ratified, and we now have a single OMI agent that the rest of the Microsoft suite all communicate with and work. So one agent pushed out, and that then enables you for WS management as you move forward. Now that's actually very important, because this agent is actually very intelligent and allows you to expose an awful lot of stuff that's actually difficult to get out of a Linux operating system, or at least in a standardized methodology. There's nothing stopping us monitoring Linux or any other operating systems. If we don't have a procedure that happens to be standardized, however, we end up with a bit of a mess. And if you've seen any of the monitoring tools, Zabbix, Nagios, and all of these other things, they all implement the procedures in slightly different ways and introduce lots of scripts and bashes and all sorts of lovely things. So the OMI piece is programmatical and allows us to extend that so that we can actually consume it well into the Windows world. Now, as they've done that, they made some changes. And the first, probably single most important one is from a performance perspective. Previously, when Operations Manager or Configuration Manager talked to a Linux host, it would send a command down. So in the second one, third one, fourth one, and they would simply queue till the different scripts finished and rotate the results back to us. Now, we got this thing called multi-threading. Big woo. It definitely makes a big performance hit, though, and we can now start seeing some major things. From a very basics perspective, and this is really for an operations manager, if you happen to push out monitoring to your Unix systems, one of the things that's different from Windows is that on Windows, you basically get your C drive, D drive, E drive. But on Linux, you have mount points, which are the common way for actually getting access to different file systems. And one of the things I see a lot on our Linux systems is that we have different mount points that you simply do not want nor need to monitor because they're there for temporary storage, swap space, memory swapping, or whatever the case may be. And previously, if you wanted to tell Operations Manager not to monitor those things, you had to go in and make groups and select the groups and then put them into exclusions and all sorts of really cool Operations Manager type stuff. Sorry, Kevin. Now they've updated the monitoring pack and put this massive thing called an override in. And I kind of, good catch, lads. Good catch. Thank you. We needed that. Finally, of course, any Linux world is going to be monitored through a script. There's nothing you do in Linux that you don't do in a script. You pop onto your bash, you run a shell, you get your information. You need some elevation, you run sudo, you get the results of that, go back to your normal bash, get the final results, and send it back home. Of course, Operations Manager decided that that's just too efficient. So in the previous version, they would allow you to run one command at a time, send you back the results, and then, well, I can't really do much about it. Alerts, don't alerts, whatever. So now, of course, in 2016, we've got this cool feature, which is you can run a script deadly. And this is actually deadly because now it's actually useful. I can actually put the thing out here and I can do something. So all of the work that the lads from Zabbix and Nagios, well, let's go steal the damn scripts now because they've written all the codes to actually check if the software is running as Cassandra, Mongo, or whatever it is that you were mad enough to run on Linux is actually working. Copy and paste the script, put it into your operations manager, hit go, and sit back and say, I'm a Linux guru. Okay, so first user voice is really go back and take a closer look. Not that anybody has a voice on Linux in here because we don't care. But if we did care, one of the other things that Microsoft have started doing is taking a look at the most common workload we put on Linux. That's MySQL and Apache. Now, some of the marketing that we've seen already is talking about Microsoft is now monitoring the LAMP stack. Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP, sitting on top of Operations Manager to tell you things are good. But there's something lame about that because the P seems to be missing in the current list of everything we're doing here. So Microsoft currently do Linux, Apache, MySQL, and forgot the P piece. So we're not really getting the PHP yet. So if somebody from Microsoft or somebody wants to use a user voice, we might tell them to finish off the PHP side of the world. What do we get here, again, is more opening for user voice. It's a pretty good start. We can get in here. We can take a look at our MySQL. We can check to see the databases are up, find all of the different tables, figure out how many people are connected, and then you can also customize it by adding more functionality in. But in an enterprise, do you really just run one single MySQL server? I'm guessing if you're mad enough to run MySQL, you're going to cluster it a little bit the same way as you do Windows. I think the lads in Redmond forgot that we need to run as an enterprise and cluster us. So another user voice, let's go vote it up. We need MySQL clustered for monitoring. The Apache world is quite similar. It's their version of IIS. Well, to be honest, it was better than IIS for years and years and years, and probably still is in different scenarios, but I'll get shot after I walk off the stage if I say that loud. So Apache is the primary web server sitting behind the Linux operating systems. It's all over the place. And it is extremely extensible to modules. The operations that we have now happening in Operations Manager is actually leveraging that same technology. The guys have actually gone away and done something really intelligent and wrote a module for Apache, which gets Operations Manager right into the heart of what's happening in the Apache server, and then allows us to export all of the information that's happening, including from modules like PHP, Python, or any of the extensions for SSL or wherever else might be happening within the Apache environment. There's a huge amount of work that could still be done on that. So if you do, again, happen to have stuff happening in your environments that is running on the Apache world, download TP3, push out the Apache agent, and look for what's missing, and get that listed. There is a pile of stuff, and I've started putting some of the stuff up in user voice, but I only get 10 votes, so don't go too far. But there are some bits and pieces that we want from an extensibility perspective that at least we can start defining what we should get exposed. Now, there's one more piece that's not on the slide deck, and that's Java. And most of the business stuff that we see happening in the Apache world, in the Linux world, is running on a Java Enterprise servers. So we're talking your JBoss and Tomcat-type servers of the world. And since 2012, Microsoft have actually made huge strides in exposing to a piece of software known as BeanSpy all of the stuff that's happening within these Java Enterprise environments. Now, it's really simple. BeanSpy gets loaded up into the same server, service, or namespace that you happen to be running your business application on. And that will then let you see the monitoring that's happening inside the Java environment. Because Java, like everything else, Windows has its WMI, Linux now has OMI, and Java has JMX, Java Management Extensions. And everything that's happening inside there, the hack, the stack, the heap, and all of the stuff that's happening, is being monitored and reported through JMX. And looking at what we've seen come out of Microsoft for support of this has been excellent. They've done some really good work. But there's always a but. They actually forgot about the rest of the world that doesn't run their Java applications inside a Java Enterprise server. So if you take things like MongoDB, Cassandra, or any of these type applications that run inside Java, they're running on a Java virtual machine. The BeanSpy doesn't actually connect into that run space because there's some code in there that suggests it shouldn't. And SCOM gets a little bit annoyed when you fool it and tell it it should actually take a peek in. So one of the things that we've been doing is hacking around in the back end so that we can expose this JMX information through another project known as Jolaki. Excuse my pronunciation, I probably made a mess of it. And that basically exposes that same JMX information on HTTP or JSON, which is something we can then come back as far as our SCOM environment and swallow back up. So depending on where you stand and what you want to do with either Java applications running Windows or Linux, or pure enterprise-type tools, Operations Manager has probably 50% of the field covered, but the other 50% is wide open. So one of the calls here is if you happen to be running Java-based applications on either operating system stack, Windows or Linux, then take your opportunity to use user voice again and explain to Microsoft that it's important that we can monitor things like Mongo and Cassandra and all of these other things that have JMX that I can't expose currently to the versions of BeanSpy that's out. Okay, now you can wake up.
So we should call this the Ops Manager User Voice Evangelist session, I think. It is important, though. You know, I mean, like, for years we've complained about, hey, here's a new release of whatever product and such a feature is still not there. At least we have an opportunity to put it down and vote it up. And to be fair to Microsoft, we put one or two up today, and within a half an hour, we had someone.
Yeah, they're listening. We listed stuff this morning on User Voice. If you just search through for myself or Kevin, you'll see that already, since we put them up about 3 hours ago, two of them have been actually updated. One saying it's complete in the next drop, and another one telling us that we were asleep when we actually submitted it.
Yeah, we missed one, so fair enough.
We missed a command, but okay.
So back to what's new, what else is new outside of the Linux Unix. So this is the OMS connector, okay? So if you have currently deployed Ops Manager 2012 or 2012 or 2, and if you haven't updated your update rollups, you may still see in the administration workspace something that says System Center Advisor. If you have updated your update rollups, you'll see something that says Operational Insights. And now, if you update 2012 or 2 to the latest update rollup or with Ops Manager 2016, you're going to see a connector for OMS, or Operations Management Suite. And I'll give a little bit of a demo, very brief demo on that shortly, just because there wasn't too many people that have actually seen it in action. But again, there's some much, much deeper sessions towards the end of the week. I would totally recommend that you guys and girls go and see that. So essentially, the change in 2016, it's a renamed connector if you've already got it deployed. It links your on-premise monitoring and your off-premise. So if you have stuff being monitored from Microsoft's cloud in OMS, you can bring that data down, or vice versa, you can push it up. The connector collects data using the Microsoft Monitoring Agent, the MMA, so we spoke about that earlier on. So I like to think of it as the multi-talented Microsoft Monitoring Agent. It can do so many different things. So that definitely gets an update. And, you know, anyone that was asking me, Kev, what are you going to do for an hour talking about the changes in Ops Manager 2016? And I said, look, we're going to talk about scheduled maintenance mode for an hour. We did consider it. So scheduled maintenance mode, it seems such a simple thing to not be in a monitoring tool as powerful as Ops Manager, and it hasn't been around for a long time. Yes, there's some really cool tools out there. Tim McFadden wrote a really good one. I've always used the PowerShell script written by Pete Zerger and Matthew Long. There's loads of different options out there, but thankfully, they've given a scheduled maintenance mode from the UI, wizard-driven, thankfully. Click, click, click. So click monkeys should be easy enough to follow. Multiple schedule support, so we can put all of our multiple schedules in, whatever way you want to drop for patch Tuesday or patch whatever day. And very useful, there's some new PowerShell commandlets that come bundled with it too. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give a little bit of a demo. We're going to tag team on this demo. I'll do the first part, and Damien is going to do the second bit. Okay, so this is Ops Manager 2016, Tech Preview 3. And in here we can see, big cheer, no? Maintenance schedules, okay? So in here we can see that we've got multiple maintenance schedules that I've created. Very, very easy, like, it's not rocket science. Very easy to follow through here. You can select objects only. You can select the objects and their contained objects there. Very similar to if you wanted to enable this just a one-off using the existing maintenance mode option. Select your class, whatever you need. I'll just go through this quickly to show you some of the options. There you go. Then you can choose your date, time, once, daily, weekly, monthly. Put in a schedule name. Obviously, you want to choose whether it's planned or unplanned. So your service level agreements and your reports will tie in whether it's planned maintenance or downtime that wasn't expected. And obviously, enable or disable the schedule. Now, I mean, there's nothing to it. I mean, I'm not going to spend next half an hour talking about that. But there is one thing, and it will be dealt with. We've just gotten confirmation from our user voice request on this. But the one thing that we don't like about this is that it's in the administration workspace, okay? I'm getting a few thumbs up, right? So why would that not be cool? Any idea? Glow sticks in the air, anyone? Down the back? Pardon? Exactly. So, you know, yes, it's all well and good if you're the, you know, megalomaniac scum administrator and you have full access to this, then you can go in and you can edit the maintenance schedules. But if you want to give access to using role-based access control to some of your ops manager admins or advanced operators or operators, they can't get it if they don't have access to the administration workspace, which you don't want them to. Okay, so that's something that we were going to encourage everyone to go vote for it anyway. The more votes, the merrier. But product group have come back and confirmed that it is on their to-do list, and fingers crossed, it should be changed for us for the final release. So Damien's going to go through. We're sticking with maintenance mode for a moment, and this is where we debated whether to do a level 400 or 500 session on maintenance mode for an hour. Instead, we agreed that we would just do we just show people some of the PowerShell command lists, just some examples, just to get you thinking, and keep your eye out on the community resources over the next few months, when no doubt you're going to see some really cool solutions around this. So.
Okay, so one of the things that David just shouted back to Kevin was that the scheduled maintenance mode happens to be sitting in the administration plane, the administration workspace, excuse me, which, of course, is a security problem if you'd want to delegate this thing out. User voice, obviously, is what I'm going to continue saying. However, we have an alternative, and that is PowerShell, and we can follow ITIL processes, and we can wrap this thing into a service offering, or we can put it into our patch maintenance cycles to Configuration Manager, or whatever the case may be. So we're just going to do a quick rundown, and what you can see here in the board is I've made a connection to our SCOM environment, and just listing off the new commands that have shown up in TP3 to allow us to disable or enable a schedule, or create or get information around our schedule maintenances. Now, based on that information, I then have the ability to actually query the environment very simply to see what schedule maintenance have already been defined. And Kevin has been good enough to actually build two or three of these in here. So I've got one called Patch Tuesday, I've got another one for monthly servers, and I've got Run Once samples set in. Now, if I wanted to actually get information about any specific one, for example, our Patch Tuesday one, all I need to do is actually get the list, pull out the one I care about, and then from there, I can gather all of the information that's available to me about that particular patching window. So I can actually do everything I need from the perspective of, here's Patch Tuesday, it's going to recur. It's recursive. Recursive simply means that it will affect this object and all sub-objects. So if I'm pointing at a computer, it's going to affect all the sub-objects of the computer. If I'm pointing at a SQL server, it'll take the sub-objects of the SQL servers, which is obviously a decision you'll make depending on what you're going to do your maintenance on. And then, of course, things like, when am I going to do this? So this is going to happen at midnight, at the start of time, it's going to finish at 1 minute to midnight at the end of time, and we're going to run this for 30 minutes. And we'll repeat this process then every Tuesday or whatever the case may be. Now, in the reverse, and this is where things become a little bit more important, we can go ahead and we can actually create the schedules. And this is why ITIL processes may be the way forward if user voice falls flat in its face, which I'm not doing very well with so far today. And in this particular case, we just follow the normal Operations Manager PowerShell. Pick a class that we want to use. So I've picked something as simple as Windows Computer. It could be SQL, it could be Virtual Machine Manager, whatever the case may be. I'm also then going to make a reference to that class. And then finally, I'm going to take the same machine that Kevin used a few moments ago. I'm going to make a reference to the particular machine so I can figure out I want this particular computer class. And then just to validate that I have made a correct reference, I'm going to echo that back out on the screen so I can actually just see that I have the computers I want to make the modification for. So I can see that that's just happened and I have my reference on it. And then finally, when I take a closer look at my options, the ISE decides to hang up. That's not going to go well.
I let you at my laptop for 2 minutes.
It's not Linux.
And you break it.
Seriously, I have a Mac running Linux. It works better. Well, actually, I have a Surface, but okay.
Thanks, Damo.
It's back. So scroll down for 1 second. We'll see the last thing, because I'm not going to peeve the gods off anymore.
No, he's broke it. Step away from the laptop.
I see my command. So basically, I get my command, which simply says, I want a new SCOM maintenance schedule. I point it with a name, tell it when I want to start, and then effectively all the rest of the parameters. And that's really it. It's super exciting.
Cool. Okay, super. So thanks, Damo. So what I'm going to do is, as promised,
The laptop's nearly as temperamental as you are.
I was going to say, it never gives me grief, and then you just see a blue screen.
Kevin, we have 15 minutes.
That's okay. So here's the OMS connector, the Operations Management Suite connector. It's quite simple, the concept of it. So you're using, in this scenario, we're using the Microsoft Monitoring Agent to monitor agents on-premise in Ops Manager for us, right? If we wanted to extend that and get that monitoring up into Microsoft's cloud in OMS, we would configure a connection to OMS from here. We would then select the computers that we want to manage. So it's not like a monitor everything or bring everything up to OMS. You can be quite selective of what exactly it is that you want to add in. And then basically after a small period of time, you're going to see OMS is going to, or open OMS in Microsoft's cloud. You're going to see those devices light up and the monitoring data pull up into OMS. I'll show you this now. Okay, so just literally showing you the connection information here. So this is a populated OMS. A really neat feature of this is we've got one Ops Manager management group here. So this is our 2016. If I have a look in settings in here, I can go to connected sources and I can see that I've got, in this case, just two Ops Manager management groups, but you could have a number of them in there and you can collect data from agents across heterogeneous Ops Manager groups. The top one there is a 2012 R2 environment. So that can be a really useful feature. As I say, I've got a reference at the end of this deck to Martin Hoot's session and Pete and Anders' session as well on OMS. I would definitely recommend having a look at them. It's definitely the modern way of monitoring from Microsoft. So just go back to the deck.
And this, of course, is heterogeneous as well. So if you do happen to be running Linux in your environments, Operations Manager will suck up logs and information from your Linux servers and make that ready for slicing and dicing.
Exactly. So there's some new Microsoft management packs out there. Really, it's just a new wave of the existing ones that we have. Currently, these management packs, familiar in name, of course, like the Windows Server, Core OS, Active Directory, DNS, DHCP, they essentially just provide support for the Windows Server 2016 operating system and associated roles and features. On that, something that someone keeps asking me, customers keep asking me, can we do this? Can we run, you know, PowerShell, you know, the way Ops Manager, you can run tasks from it. How many people, glowstick time, how many people are familiar with the open PowerShell task in the Ops Manager console? Great, because there's only one or two hands. This is not brand new, but again, it's another useful tip for you or for your customers, so you can really, really look super cool if you go back to them and show them this. Okay, so basically, I'll just jump back into my demo for a sec. It's only take a sec. So this is part of, I think this is available since actually 2014, since around August 2014. And basically, the Windows Server Core Operating System Management Pack, when you deploy that and when you're monitoring Windows computers, you have access to the open PowerShell task over here on the right-hand side. Now, this PowerShell task doesn't just open a local PowerShell. It opens a remote PowerShell session to that box. Obviously, permissions relevant to the permissions that the user has. But like if you can see here, like host name, that's my remote server. I could go, actually, that's the same server. You get the idea. If that was the AD server, you can import the PowerShell module. Really, really useful because then it's bringing back to the whole idea or the story of, you know, Ops Manager being that one-stop shop or at least a most-stop shop for a lot of your administration tasks or your operator tasks. It's really, really useful, and I just thought it was a good point to point it out.
This also has relevance in the fact that as we move forward to 2016, the server story is, of course, headless. So we're going to see more core, more nano, or at least that's the push we're getting to. So obviously opening our PowerShell sessions directly to those servers obviously makes a lot more sense.
Exactly. So I really wanted to demo this management pack. This is the new, Microsoft Azure management pack. It's not currently available yet. We had hoped, Microsoft had hoped to have at least something available sooner, but they demonstrated a pre-release version of this at Microsoft Ignite in Chicago, and it looks really cool. It's essentially a redesign of the existing Microsoft Azure Management Pack. There's a wizard inside that allows you to create your own custom monitors that look at your Azure resources and your Azure performance counters. So we don't have an exact date for it. Microsoft haven't released a release date for it yet, but I would guess it's towards the end of the year. But if you have any resources up in Microsoft Azure, then this is something that you definitely want to have a look at. It's free, and it's even better than the one that we have now. So, SQL Management Pack dashboards. Okay, so we have a new SQL Management Pack. The previous SQL Management Pack for 2012 had some really cool dashboards built in. The SQL Management Pack for SQL 2014 has some even better dashboards built in.
Kevin, I don't have SQL 2014 deployed.
That's what I was going to say. So how many people...
That was a coined question, of course.
Most people haven't deployed SQL 2014, or if you have, it's not wide scale, right? So what I wanted to demo on this is something pretty cool, okay? Even if you don't have SQL 2014 deployed in your environment, download the management pack, the SQL 2014 management pack for Microsoft, okay? When you download it, create a new dashboard. And in here, you'll see when you go to create a new dashboard, you've got a new dashboard template called SQL Server Dashboards. Don't be fooled by the name, okay? This is what we're looking for here, Data Center Dashboard, okay? We go next. I'll go SQL Demo.
So what you're saying is that even if I don't have any SQL Server for 2014 in my environment, still go ahead, pull down the actual management pack, import it. It will discover nothing, obviously.
Yep.
But I do get the ability to actually use this wizard and leverage the dashboarding technology.
Exactly. So here's the dashboard template. This is super easy to use. Add a group. So in this case here, let's say we add the Active Directory Domain Controller group. Add this. So I can see any domain controllers that I have in my environment. They light up here with nice little active health state tiles. So I can expand out on it. I can get alert views. I can double click, I can go into this. So all of my tasks on the right-hand side that are relevant to that management pack, in this case, it's AD. So I get all of my built-in tasks that management pack will surface up. And that's really, really useful. And Microsoft seems to be making more and more strides towards developing these types of management packs where, you can literally build out really cool free dashboards for free. So that's a quick run through of that one.
Okay, so action, when you go home, go to your SCOM servers, install that management pack, and start adding your groups in, and then show off to your management that you've just given a nice head-up dashboard for free.
Yeah, is that useful? Yeah, okay. It's cool, isn't it?
So we're getting close on time point. So what we're going to do now is we're going to focus a little bit more on a lot more free stuff that's sitting out there.
Exactly.
And help you out with that.
And if people have questions, we're around later. We've decided to eat into the designated Q&A time for this session. If you have questions, we're around later. Myself and Damien are also doing an Ask the Experts session tomorrow at lunchtime. So go to the ATA area, and we'd be happy to take some questions. This is just a couple of slides, again, to help you make your Ops Manager environments rock, just from some free community offerings out there. SystemCenterCore.com. Glowstick time. How many people have heard of this?
Okay.
Keep them up if you like Mission Impossible, because that's normally what it's like if you're trying to find a management pack that's not Microsoft related. SystemCenterCore.com. I still don't know the guy or girl who has actually authored this, but it's a super cool library of management packs. Gives information about all of the elements, not just for Ops Manager, but also for Service Manager as well. Go check it out. It's really useful. Of course, you've got the Management Pack Wiki. This one has been around for a while. If you haven't heard about this, bookmark it. This one and SystemCenterCore.com. All your Microsoft Management Packs here. These are some free tools from some friends of ours and other general community members. Tao Yang, Australian MVP in the Cloud and Data Center group. He decided he's looked at the PowerShell commandlets that are currently available for Ops Manager 2012 or 2. Tao does a lot of authoring, a lot of editing of management packs, and he decided that there's not a huge amount that you can do with the existing PowerShell module that comes with the default installation. So what he did was he said, hey, I'll just write my own PowerShell module. And I can't recall how many commandlets he has, but it's pretty awesome. So Tao has a 9 or 10 page series or blog post series about automating Ops Manager, using Ops Manager and sometimes SMA. But as part of that, he wrote this module, which you can download. He has step-by-step instructions on how to use it. It will definitely help you extend your Ops Manager experience.
To convert that to real world, what we're basically saying here is read Tao's blog, and then if you decide that you have a business requirement where somebody comes to you and says, I've just put a new server up, I need it monitored, you're going to sit back and push out agents and do all the normal thing. Tao has enabled us to take something like Service Manager, System Center Management Automation, and have it configure Operations Manager for us in a repeatable process. So taking Operations Manager and forcing it into an ITIL process, it is simply amazing. And it's 12 blog posts of pretty nerdy stuff, but it's well worth the energy and effort to sit down and read this thing.
Exactly. Another rather simple management pack, but one that, you know, if you build dashboards on a regular basis, whether it's the free ones out of the box or whether you're using some of the solutions from Civision or Squared Up, you're going to want to, in some cases, take objects that are being monitored, add them into a group in Ops Manager, and then you're going to want to monitor them, or represent that group and the health state of that group within Ops Manager. Problem is, a group doesn't have a health state out of the box. You've got to create a unit monitor that targets that group and lights up the health state for it. So if that's a repetitive task that you come across when you're designing dashboards, download Tao's free management pack. He's got a little task on the right. Click, select your group, use the task, monitor's created. Really cool. Oscar Landman, the tallest Dutch guy I've ever seen. I don't know if he's not here because his head would be up probably towering above the rest of you. He's wrote a really, really cool, a couple of versions of it now, but Windows Azure Pack, management pack. So there is a free one from Microsoft. Oscar has taken what that had and then blown it away and basically wrote his own one. Really, really useful if you've deployed Azure Pack. Pete Zerger and Oscar Landman, again, Oscar collaborating with Pete. They wrote a super cool update to their older or earlier health check reports management pack. So you can get some really cool reports out of the box. Really good. URL Genie, if you're involved with customers that have very, very large numbers of URLs to monitor, URL Genie Management Pack helps you manage or bulk manage those URLs in Ops Manager. Wei H. Lim, Australian Microsoft employee, or PFE, I think. He has a fantastic website for management packs and solutions. He's written a management pack to basically give you a sample wizard that will allow you to create PowerShell monitors from the Ops Manager console. SkyBlue MP, that's a relatively new one. That's not an update, but it has similar capability to the old Green Machine Management Pack that Cameron Fuller worked on. I'm not sure if it was Cameron's original one, but that's a really useful one too. And then Dave is sitting down the back there. I think I was only talking to Dave yesterday. He has a really simple but very useful management pack. Anyone here that has deployed an agent from Ops Manager to a Windows computer, or to most computers actually, you will probably be familiar with the agent proxy setting not enabled option. Okay, and then you know you have an option, you can go and you can put a SQL command into your SQL databases to allow everything every time. But a lot of security conscious customers, including a lot of ours, don't like that. They don't allow it, so it has to be a manual process, or you can use the proxy settings tool from Boris and Daniele to update it. So Dave has written a management pack that checks, has a monitor that checks for that alert in your console every night. And if the alert is there, it can automatically enable that agent proxy for you. Really useful, really simple. And he's down the back there. We'll get him if you need to speak to him about it. He can give you a demo of it.
So we've got a whole lot more stuff to go through. And rather than read through each of them, I realize we're coming very close to the end of the session.
Okay.
Let's take the last 3 or 4 minutes before we wrap up here and just ask, is there any Q&As? The deck and all of the links and everything that we have, there will be available for download. The video recording, if you want to be mad enough to watch us again, will be on channel 9. But if you've got some questions that you're interested in current or futures, or some voices that you'd like us to make known to Microsoft, now's your chance. Anybody? Stuff? We've got a question in the corner.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, is the question, does OMS support upload of Unix log files? Is that the question?
Yes. So yes, it does. It allows you to take a log file or a text file from any operating system, Windows or Linux. That log file can be in any shape or format, and it can use things like regular expression then to actually spit it out into whatever structure that's necessary. There is, yeah, that's true. The methodology right now is via the Operations Manager server. So Operations Manager does have a Linux agent that's introducing as part of the CIM or OMI servers. That communication will then allow us to take that information straight to Ops Manager. And correct me if I'm not wrong, and I know Pete and the guys will be doing a deep dive in this, but I actually think there is a direct connect now as well from Linux straight to Ops Manager.
I think so, but you know what I would do? I'd go check out the two sessions that I'm going to show you in the next slide. Seriously, especially the deep dive session from Pete and Anders.
Yeah.
You will get, if they don't show it in the session, or if Martin doesn't show it, they have all the answers to OMS.
Yeah, and come back to us tomorrow evening if you need for the experts piece, and we'll do a quick research and we'll check with the Microsoft guys to be 100% sure of what the process is to actually monitor without going to Operations Manager and just go straight to the cloud.
Exactly. So I'll leave this, well, it's been up here a little while. There's a couple of scripts and tools, Stefan. It's not just because I'm over here in Basel and I expect a free beer from you. That's a really useful tool. It saved me a lot of time. Thanks a million for writing that for the community, okay? That's the Modify Alert and Subscription tool, by the way. Loads of cool stuff. There's the related SKU sessions for OMS and speed dating SCOM. That's one I'm going to be at. Really good. Totally recommend. Have a look at them if you're using Ops Manager or thinking about using Ops Manager. This is where you're going to get all of the deep dive information and the lowdown. So thanks to all our sponsors. And we do need your feedback. So me and Damien, if you can't understand our...
sexy Irish accent.
please don't say bad. You know, just give us top marks and we've, you know... No, if there's any feedback, good, bad or indifferent, please give that feedback. It helps us as presenters... hone our content to give you guys and girls exactly what you need. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.